Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Entourage showed us Hollywood. Californication showed us Venice Beach, but rarely have the eastern corners of Los Angeles been explored. Until tonight. Night, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh. Selena.
I love this song.
The Queen.
Me too.
Bidi bidi bum bum. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TV Pilot Reviews here on AfterBuzz TV. For those watching live, you can see this beautiful lady to my left, first-timer, Amy Cassandra Martinez. Hi. Amy, we're so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here, and just special shout-out to Sam Davidson for giving me some lozenges. My throat got really dry, and I got very scared, so thank you.
Speaking of Sam Davidson, say hello, Sam.
Hello, the lozenge girl. The lozenge. The lozenge. The lozenge. I still can't say it.
No,
Sam Davidson here, and I have my computer back. I'm in the live chat. Hello. Double S Super Knight. Well, excited to talk to you.
Excited to talk to you. And D'Angelo, say hello.
Hello, guys. We miss you, Linda.
We miss you, Linda. We're thinking about you. We love you. But we also have an amazing panel here tonight. Amy, part of the reason we brought you in is, one, because you're a wonderful host and aww, a friend of me and the network, and she hosts a lot here, so keep your eyes peeled for other amazing after shows she's on. But you're also a Latinxer who grew up in a multilingual home. So
this is true.
I wanted to bring on someone who could more authentically speak to the experience of this show, because the show we're covering today, guys, is a brand new star show called Vida. It follows some Latinxers in their presumably late 20s, early 30s, who... this happens at the very beginning, so I'm not going to say it's a spoiler, who are reunited after having been estranged because of the death of their mother. And the show kind of digs in more into that and what that looks like. And we're going to get into it right now. Just so you guys know, this is not an after show. This is simply a review show where we review pilots only. So tonight we will be discussing the pilot only of Vida. And I say we do that right now. Amy, I want to start with your overall thoughts and your passer play, because you are our guest.
Oh, thank you. This is definitely a play for me. I had seen some stuff about it, some red carpets, whatever, didn't really pay too much attention to it. And so when it started, I was kind of like, okay, all right. By the end of it, I was fully invested and I really enjoyed it. I thought, I mean, there have been a few shows here and there, on my block, for example, really touches on the whole like Hispanic culture, but this one, as well as On My Block and some other ones, did a really good job not being fake about it. It was very authentic. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed that one little shot of the tacos.
They're so good.
Oh my God, my mouth is watering. I was pleasantly surprised. Definitely play. I don't know how much like you want me to say, because I can talk about it for a while.
We'll get into more depth, but that's a great overall thoughts. How about you two?
I liked it. I thought the casting was really good. I agree with the music. You know, it's a tough subject, but I think as a female, it appealed to me also, you know, because I'm not Latina. I'm not from the Mexican community, but I understood it as a woman and as a sister.
Cool.
Is where I got it.
Yeah, definitely a double play for me. I think when we talk about representation for minorities, a lot of times it goes to just meaning African American.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to see things that are showing not just African American things, Latino, Asians, but in this case, Latino. And I think from my perspective, they did a really good job.
Yeah, I was very moved by this pilot. You guys probably aren't surprised to learn I really liked this.
Did you cry?
I'm not going to say I didn't cry.
Yeah.
Jeff's eyes were sweating a little bit.
Exactly. I was allergic to the show. That's what I always say.
It happens.
But I mean, this is like very much a Jeff show, right? Like it's a very like kind of down to earth, very humane camera, right? Close ups, right in people's faces, beautifully shot. This is a show for me. I really liked it. I think I want to see a bit more character subtlety as we move forward. And I wish it was just a little funnier. I found it to be maybe 10% too serious.
Yeah.
But that's also okay. Like, that's what the show is. And that's just my taste.
Is it supposed to be comedy?
It's definitely not supposed to be comedy,
well,
no.
I have to throw this in there, is that I've always found it fascinating. In the past few years, they're doing these 30-minute dramas, dramedies. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they? They're not an hour. And especially on Starz, usually when it's an hour, it's 60 minutes. And,
yeah.
I mean, this was, what, 35 or 30 minutes? So it's... But it really wasn't funny.
Not at all. And that's totally fine. That's what the show's trying to do. Personally, in my, like, dramedies, I like a little more, like, maybe one laugh. But that's okay. I really, really liked it overall. And I think it's the themes that are really driving the show. And we're gonna get to talk about that a little more. But as I mentioned, guys, Vida is a show. It's very, very Latin American. That's the only way it can be described. It's show run by a Latin American woman. Mm-hmm. The whole entire cast are really sort of these first-timers who all grew up in Spanish-speaking homes. And mm-hmm. what's so cool is the whole entire show is littered with Spanglish. You get... Speak to that, Amy.
Well, okay, so I... Okay, a little biography here. I grew up in Texas, South Texas. And my mom and I would move in the valley a lot. Valley down there is like South Texas, which is basically Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it was just my mom and I, and she would speak English and Spanish to me. Not so much Spanglish, which I mean, I guess it could be. But what we saw in the show was a lot of like starting in English, throwing a Spanish word in there, going back to English. And for me, I'm sure that a lot of people watching can relate as well. It was English paragraphs, then Spanish paragraphs. So I don't know how accurate that was. But then they did talk about pocho, which is super accurate, more in Texas.
Mm. What is pocho?
Pocho is kind of like English with like a Spanish word in there, or making a Spanish word kind of like English. So like to park is like estacionar, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but they change it to parquear, which is like, okay. So that's pocho. So that was interesting. I did live in Mexico for 4 years. That's where I really learned Spanish. I was 4 until I was 8, and then I moved back to San Antonio. So that was an interesting look at it, because a lot of Latinxers don't know Spanish. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they feel like a little bit bad because it's, you know, it's kind of like a little group of us that we know English, that we know Spanish. I, on the contrary, do not feel super comfortable speaking Spanish, just because, I mean, like, my mom passed away a long time ago, so I don't speak it on the regular.
Right.
But it's definitely something to talk about and to understand, like, hey, if you have an accent, it's okay. Like, if you speak a little pocho, that's okay. Like, you know, it's cool.
Well, the show, we're going to talk about it more specifically, but the show really interestingly explored, like, the right way to be Latin American. Like, I think mm-hmm. most of the time in TV we see white versus Latin or white versus black, but in this show we're seeing Latin versus Latin, which it's like, I think Dear White People does this too with colorism, and they'll talk about different shades of being black. And I thought it was really interesting and very refreshingly specific that mm-hmm. this show was all about different shades of the Latin American community.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that a little more later. But before we do that, I want to talk a bit about the development history of this show. The show was announced in 2016. This sort of stars its foray into Latin-driven content. The showrunner / creator is a Latin American writer named... Oh my gosh. I have it written down here. It's... Brie, I might need your help. But she is a... Tanya Saracho, as I believe her name, but I want someone to check me if that's okay. She was a playwright for a really long time, which doesn't surprise me because I think this show has some elements of feeling almost like it could be staged rather than shot. But she also did transition into... Tanya Saracho. Great. But she transitioned into TV writing in 2012. She worked on Devious Maids. I'm not surprised she did a lot with HBO. She worked on HBO's Girls and HBO's Looking.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. But this is really her first time show running. So she, along with this cast, are kind of a bunch of first-timers. And given the lack of, quote, experience with this whole production team, I'm pretty astounded by what they managed to put out.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a pilot where I think I've cared more about the characters. And I'm talking about 4 to 5 characters I care about. And mm-hmm. I want to see what happens with them more than so many other shows. It's not that plot-driven. You know, a big event happens, but then it's all about... And I liked all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't hate anybody.
That's such a good point, because that was kind of my critique, but it could have also been what they were looking for. Like, at the end of the episode, I'm not going to spoil it, but it wasn't, like, enough to make you say, based on the event, oh, I want to check and see what's going to come back mm-hmm. to. I want to see what's going to happen in the second episode. The reason I want to see the second episode is because I'm invested in the characters already.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a really sharp observation, I think. Well, speaking of the characters, let's talk about this cast and these characters. And just so you guys know, we're past our spoiler-free section of the show. You've gotten our overall thoughts, and I think you have a flavor of the show. But now we're going to talk specifics. So if you want to know nothing going in, you should tune out now. So the lead and sort of the only real name associated with this show is Melissa Barrera playing Lynn. She's kind of the fun younger sister.
What is she from?
Nothing we know. Okay, but she's done a lot with telenovelas. So she's only done Spanish-speaking acting.
Oh, wow. She's so beautiful.
She's beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, she's done telenovelas, which is, you know, like, Spanish soaps. So it's not surprising to learn. She kind of has the look of, like, a beautiful soap actress, I think. But all these other actors are sort of first-timers, at least from my research. We have Michelle Prada playing Emma, who's the more kind of bossy older sister. We have Karen Sir-Anzotogai playing Eddie, who actually identifies as gender non-binary in real life, which is interesting.
Oh, wow.
She looked very familiar to me, too. I can't really put my finger on it, but I feel like it was just a random scene in some thing that was very brief, but I know I've seen her somewhere. If anyone out there can put their finger on it, because it was brief wherever I saw her.
Yeah.
But I feel like she was some lady getting in a fight somewhere. Nice. I can't remember where.
She has that look.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know they did an interview with Jeff Masters, who has a nice LGBTQ show, so if you want to learn more about them, you can do that there. We have Chelsea Rendon playing Marisol, Carlos Miranda playing Johnny, who's, I think, Rin's potential love interest through the season. And finally, we have Maria Elena Las playing Cruz. Let's talk about these characters. Do we want to start with Melissa, who's playing Lynn?
Sure.
So you responded to her, it sounds like.
She's the soap opera. Yes. The telenovela. Yeah, I mean, she was inferior. She's a little sister.
Yes.
She, I hate to say this, remind me of my little sister. So. Little shits. Sorry, guys. You know, but she was relatable, understandable, but you were also rooting for her because she wants the status quo. I think it was really good casting. I was fascinated by her. Just totally compelled to watch her. Mm-hmm. Even though she plays a little dumb sometimes, but I kind of enjoy those characters because they're usually doing it on purpose.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah.
I think the most compelling thing about her was how she interacted with her sister, because, like, her sister's obviously hardened, but, like, I love that she almost didn't really take her too seriously. Like, she was just like, can you calm down right now? Or, like, stuff like that. It just kind of says a lot about their, despite the fact that they haven't talked to each other much, it seems, mm-hmm. they still have a lot of camaraderie and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think she and her sister, Emma, were smartly written because they're clearly playing on different sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
And I think, from a writing perspective, you want to have two sort of different takes on not only, like, the family experience, but the Latin experience as well. And
yeah.
They're clearly, like, foils to each other, so it's going to be interesting to see how they develop. I will say, I thought these performances were great. I thought they might have been written in a way that felt a bit stock character to me.
Yeah.
I felt like it was like, this is the fun free spirit, and this is the bossy worker girl, a little bit.
Well, so free spirit that she gets it on.
Yes.
So I was totally on her side. I was like, you go, girl. Like, I love your dress. I love what you're doing. I love that. And I love how real she was with her sister. But then she did that, and I was like, girl.
Oh, I thought that's what kind of made me be like, what's she going to do next?
It was a plot twist for sure.
Yeah. What was your objection?
That he has a baby mama slash fiance. I was like, girl. Like,
yeah, it's kind of messy.
And then where it was taking place as well.
Right.
First of all, how uncomfortable.
And gross.
Dirty. Ugh. But, I mean, they're paying their respects to their mother.
Yeah.
Like, this is the, I mean, and she's trying to cope. Like, I get that.
Grief sex.
I mean, that's what it was.
I mean, yeah, but that's weird. That is weird to me. And, like, I'd be, well.
Amy's a married woman, you know? She has some morals. I'm just kidding.
I hear you. I actually really like that point. It's funny. Sometimes I feel like I'm kind of like a cornbread Midwesterner, but sometimes when I see sex on TV, I'm still like a bit scandalized.
Me too.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's more just that I didn't consider the fact. Sometimes I wonder, like, okay, why this sex scene now? Mm-hmm. Why do we need to see the graphic details? But I think maybe the reason they made that choice was to show us how deliberately, potentially disrespectful it was to their mother, because it was on the same grounds as their memorial.
Well, I also think this is why I don't agree with it feeling like stock character-esque, is because that was like an organic way into her personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as opposed to telling us how to feel about her, like, we got that. Like, you know what I mean? And a lot of people are going to feel differently about that. So I think that's kind of cool.
Well, and what I think is so fascinating about these, and that you mentioned Girls, that she, the showrunner, was a writer on Girls.
Yes.
And that makes sense to me, especially because of that scene. But in a way, it let us see because we don't know these people's backstories. And what I think was so great about the acting was they had so much subtext in there that you knew there was so much history that it's going to take seasons, years for them to tell us.
To break it down, yeah.
So work, and you know, they punta, that means whore, right?
P-U-T-A, pretty much, yeah. I don't cuss. I'm such a, southern girl.
It's in Spanish, so I, don't think it counts, but, you know, it counts.
It counts,
but, I mean, I think that we get little glimpses as to why the all the people in the town are responding to these women the way that they are, and that was one of them.
Yeah,
I want to talk about just the town, because, like, it takes place in Boyle Heights, California, which is still a primarily Latin part of town, set east of downtown. So for those of you guys who might not know LA geography, most of the times when you see LA on television, you're either seeing, like, the west side near the ocean, or maybe you're seeing Hollywood, or sometimes even the valley. Yeah. Cobra Kai last week was in the valley.
But every word you say.
And see if you can...
I'm done.
But this is a show set, like, east of downtown, which, like, we hardly ever see on TV. Mm. And it sounds like a cliche, but I really feel like this is one of those shows where, like, the setting is a character on the show. Do you guys know what I mean when I say that?
Yes. Yeah. It has its own personality and its own agenda.
Yeah.
I really I'm excited about how they're touching on the gentrification aspect. Because I'm from D.C. and, like, we have a lot of that, or had a lot of that, have a lot of that. And so... I'm aware of it in LA, and a lot of that has racial undertones when it comes to gentrification, so I'm excited to see how they touch on that.
That was probably my favorite part of the episode, and something I was very surprised by. I think sometimes when you're watching a show like this, you can kind of sort of deep down know what's going to come and know what to expect, but all of a sudden when there were these issues of housing and how do we preserve the Latin identity of our town, and that was the stuff that I think kind of really took me back, took me aback as a viewer. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the gentrification stuff, Amy?
Well, like, I get it because it's also, like, they wanted to make sure that it was going to be taken care of, but also, you know, like, the bar, right?
Yes.
But then also just make sure that it stays within the, like, the Latin roots, and that's so confusing. I think, I mean, even in Texas, like, there's always construction going on. Like, San Antonio is heavily populated with Latinos, so it's a pretty normal thing that, like, the south side of San Antonio, it needs help. But it brings up an interesting point. I don't even really know how I feel about it, because it's just, like, you know, you want to make it better, but you don't want to take away the fact that it is, you know, Latino.
Right. Yeah. Well, I feel like the show didn't tell us what was right or wrong. And this is what great television does, is it allows our characters to sort of be different philosophical filters on how we should be viewing this issue. Mm-hmm. I think we, in one pilot, got like four distinct views on sort of the complexities and subtleties of gentrification. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, by using characters to sort of espouse different viewpoints on that issue, we can not only explore interesting themes, but also see character development at the same time. Mm. So that was the stuff that, like, really impressed me, I think.
I also like, not to...
No, please. Yeah, I was
also
done.
Like that they didn't go soap opera-y. Yeah. Because it's a drama, and there's this fine line, and some people are going to have that stigma when it comes to, like, a predominantly Latino cast. So I'm kind of glad, like, the little subtleties. I feel like when she was on the steps and, like, they were doing what they were doing, I'm glad no one came out to, like, you know, confront them, because that would have felt soap opera to me.
I was really scared the whole time. I was like, no.
Something like that was going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that they kept... That's a hard line to maintain. I feel like they did it well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry. Again, I just find it so fascinating you mentioned Girls. I couldn't even finish Girls. I just was... I don't know. I could do a whole monologue for years about that. But the stuff that I liked about it, I saw in this show again. And it was kind of the... It was a show about women, too, that I think is really important. It's not just about the Latino community. Mm-hmm. I think it's a show about women.
Yeah.
And the choices people make. And, I mean, these women had such, like, big histories. They had big enough histories to run from the place that they're from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, speaking of the whole women issue of the show, the big revelation that we learned, and this is another really kind of subtly handled theme in the show, was that we learned that the mother was not only living with someone, but living with a woman, and was kind of discovering her own lesbian sexual orientation.
She's married.
Well, she discovered it.
Which is, I thought, so interesting. And also, I said lesbian sexual orientation.
I know.
I was going to go with it. Yeah.
We're going to let it go, bro.
I just need to address it. That was, like, the most 68-year-old college professor thing I've ever said in my life.
We support you, Jeff.
Thanks. But I thought this was so interesting. And what I liked was we showed different views on homosexuality within the Latin community, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, So I lived in Mexico in the late 90s, early 2000s. That was not something you saw. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how it was here, but it, yeah, no, like, everyone had, like, a wife or a husband. They had kids. Like, it's not something that's really talked about. So I really like that they delved into that. I also like, you know, the daughter's reactions that, well, I don't know about you guys, but the moment I saw her, I was like, oh, okay, of course. The mom was a lesbian.
Yes, right. Yeah, it seemed pretty obvious.
Yeah. So, and it's just, I mean, I guess what we're used to, what we're, what we've been exposed to.
Right.
But in the Mexican culture, it's not normal, but not that
typical.
Known. Yeah.
Well, it's very Catholic, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I wonder if that was part of.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, even now, 2018, whether you're American or what, like, it's still, there's a group of people that are like, no, that's weird. Like, mm-hmm. I don't believe in that. And in the Hispanic culture, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people say how they feel. And so it's not, yeah, I'm not going to say the word of, like, what people call them. But, yeah, it's very, I don't know. Not open, yeah, just not open-minded.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, it makes me think, too, I mean, how many untold stories and future stories are going to be told about gay men from the Latino community?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because honestly, whatever you believe, statistically speaking, I think that a certain number of the population, you know, is homosexual. And, like, it just, it happens, I think, naturally, and it's totally great, and it's okay. But think about how many, you know, races, nationalities, all of that don't accept it. And they say that, oh, no, we don't have any homosexual people
right.
in this community. Repressed. Zero.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not true.
Right.
Well, I think we've been lucky on TV to see the minority experience played out, and we've seen the queer experience played out, but we haven't seen those intersect enough. I think, like, mm-hmm. oftentimes a queer experience on TV is super white,
mm-hmm.
so it's That's really true. Interesting to see how minority communities handle the queer experience, because it's probably pretty different than how white America handles the queer experience.
Well, question, though, kind of changing a tiny bit, because they were calling the girls, like, half white. Right? So was it their father that was white? I was kind of confused as to what they were referring to.
I kind of interpreted it as them calling them, like, whitewash. Like, socially, like, white.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I actually still keep in touch kind of with my friends from Mexico, and they don't say anything about it, but, like, when you move from Mexico or, you know, you speak more English than, like, your average, whatever, Hispanic, it's like, gringa.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, you think you're too good for us now? Not everyone, obviously, but, yeah, I could see that they were just kind of like, you've been whiteified, if that could be a word.
Not true to your culture. I know, like, African-Americans are still, like, very much a thing, so.
Yeah, well, they used a term, it was, like, Latinglish or something. I forget exactly what they said, but, like, they incorporated. The show was just filled with all this really interesting, seemingly authentic slang that I loved hearing as a viewer.
Yeah, who was it? Lynn. Was like mommy, but M-A-M-I.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, whoa, I forgot that. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's what we call our moms. Or it's like, ma, mommy. yeah, so that was like, yeah, you forget. And then, you know, just the little things that you just don't think about. Like I said, the tacos.
She always pauses right after
that,
she talks about
and
the tacos.
My mouth just waters. Because that was so authentic. And I think they could have easily gone over the top.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I guess obviously the writing and all of the casting and all of that just stay true to the whole Hispanic community. So
Definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to not see like the Disney version of the Latin American experience.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, it's, that's, there's a space for, I think, different kinds of television. But like, if you're going to shoot like a single cam, shaky cam, intimate portrait of a town,
mm-hmm.
I think this is the way to do it, personally.
There's also, I mean, the Hispanic community, like, it's been fantastic the last few months. You know, we got Coco, super authentic, One Day at a Time.
Yeah.
I started watching that just because people were like, no, like, it's really good. And I started, I was like, wow, it's like being home again. On My Block. I mean, we're starting to, like I'm doing anything, but you guys are starting to, you know, like get the word out that like, hi, we're here too. What's up?
You're doing stuff too, Amy.
No.
It's true.
Thanks.
Any other thoughts on sort of the actual meat of the episode before we move on to some other segments?
The father, I want to know. I have so many questions. I want to
know
the father. I want to know why the mother and the oldest daughter were at such a disagreement,
mm-hmm.
and why she called her a hypocrite, because I think that was a hint.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of questions.
I think a lot of that, like, I obviously cannot speak to the entire, like, Latino community, but mother-daughter relationships is, like, very tricky. Mm-hmm. Because matriarchs are a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the man will probably think he has a say, but let's be real. Let's be real. So that, you know, just being very stubborn, those two women, you know, like the mom and then the daughter, the oldest daughter, could have just been butting heads. And then the dad not being around.
Yeah.
A lot of Hispanic dads are just not around. It's kind of like, oh, yeah. Like, it's not a norm, but kind of.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, just go, oh, he's not here. Oh, right, normal. If someone's mother, you know, we don't have a mother, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I never, you know, yeah. Like, I know who he is, but I've never been in my life.
Well, it's and what I think is interesting, though, about the older sister, what was her name again? Lynn? The younger sister. Emma.
Yeah.
Because we follow her. Essentially, I think this is her show. If you're watching it from beginning to end,
yeah.
We're seeing it in her eyes. And I mean, she is one of the least likable characters,
mm-hmm.
which I find intriguing, but we see her crack towards the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, oh, man, you suck, but you're interesting. You know, I part of me is probably like you or people I know.
Mm.
So I liked it.
Well, and there's something, I think there's an added layer of interesting character development when you see this sort of escape from your town, throw away your past and become someone else. But when there's the added layer of growing up as a minority, it's just inherently more interesting because
there's that pressure there.
There's that pressure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it's much more interesting to see someone who didn't come from privilege make that choice because they're trying to create a new narrative for themselves.
Yeah.
Which is part of the thing that makes girls kind of annoying is those... I mean, I love that show. But, like, when you watch rich white people resent their past, you sort of roll your eyes. But when you watch, you know, unprivileged minorities reject their past, there's a more justification for it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that actually makes me think about... So, moving from San Antonio to here was a big deal. I mean, I think as it is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my family, my husband's family, was just like... So, like, when are you guys going to get a place here? No, we're really moving. Okay, yeah, no, that's funny, but, like, where are you going to stay here? No, we're doing this. And for people to want to move and actually go do it, people are kind of like, oh. Kind of like what I said before. It's like, you're too good for us. Or try to remember where you came from.
Yeah, like you're leaving us, kind of abandoning your people.
Yeah, I think that's why J-Lo, bringing that to J-Lo, that's why she's like, yeah, I'm still Jenny from the block.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, right, J-Lo.
She's got it. I feel like it feels like the same J-Lo we knew 20 years ago to me, but...
No. But...
Let us know in the comments what you think. We don't have time for J-Lo debate,
I will say that it's really... Another thing I like, it's really cool, like, learning about a different type of minority experience, like, learning the similarities and differences,
mm-hmm.
because the aspect of pressure and, like, claiming, like, where you're from, like, still, like, having that identity, I can definitely understand. But then also the intricacies with, like, involving Spanish. I don't, like, so I get to learn.
Yeah.
So it's, like, really cool. I think even as a minority of a different race, you learn a lot from looking at and paying attention to other things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which speaks to, I think, how subtly written and directed the show is.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to talk about quickly is just that final scene. I was very moved by this.
It's a good scene.
Yeah,
this is a big spoiler, but the last thing we see, and I'm hoping this recurs, is a flashback. It's a home video, but we get to see the two daughters in the prime innocence of their youth with their mom, as Selena plays, and I found this to be very moving. What did you guys think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. From the moment that Lynn grabs the VHS,
mm-hmm.
VHS, yes, grabs that, she's looking, I think, for it to be labeled a certain way, which I'm like, ooh, did they come, like, to my house or something and see this? Because it was exactly like that.
Wow.
Playing it, having Selena on in the background, I was like, good for you. That's good. And also just seeing them... I think they're on the roof or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're dancing like that. And what they were wearing, what they were saying, how they were dancing was just like taking it from my brain.
Wow.
So trippy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I actually thought she was going to go find booze or drugs or something. I was like, what is she so aggressively trying to find in the cabinet? She's had a bad day. But, you know, it was really sweet that it was just the tapes. And I loved how we saw it. And then... It's just this theme, I think. It's like the thesis of the show, which is the two sisters coming together even though they don't agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well said. Yeah.
I can tell. I hate it because it's what keeps me around with shows, but I hate that shows do it. I can tell that they're going to they're going to give us details so slowly.
Yeah.
They're going to answer questions so slowly. And that's what keeps me to come back around. But I'm also like, God dang it. I hate that.
So, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, what's interesting is it's a 6-episode first season. Oh, so it's only 3 hours of content. And I will say this is the next segment of our show, which is our runway segment. 20,000 people watched this live. Yeah, so I don't. For those of you guys who might not know numbers, even for premium cable, that's pretty low. So as much as I love this show, I'm a little worried for it because, I mean, it's not surprising. This is a tough show to market.
Why? There are two beautiful women. Like, right. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say exploit them.
Right.
But if you want to publicize the show, which I saw zero of.
Agreed.
Two beautiful Latina women dealing with a tragedy. I think it's totally marketable, and I think that it was the fault of Stars for
the fault of our stars.
Yeah. Oh God.
Oh, that was so good.
So Black Mirror.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
But
that's why I don't get it as a Black Mirror reference. Okay.
Well, no, I made it that. I definitely made it that. But I mean, don't you guys agree? Like, they could have, and maybe it wouldn't have been great for them to market it as a sexy writer from Girls, like it's essentially Girls, but with Latina women who are, frankly, you know, more pretty. Prettier than the Girls from Girls. They're sexier.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It pisses me off, and it pisses me off that they got those numbers because I don't really think it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to have a show that only has 6 episodes. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's their level of investment or they have low expectations. Like, I'm not sure.
And they're only 30 minutes each.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's weird.
Well, and I'm wondering, I don't like that it's on Stars because it's not accessible. Yeah. Well, like, I didn't have Stars. Yeah. Like, right. I still don't. I watched it here. Like, even HBO, you can get HBO Go. Mm-hmm. Like, other channels are just easier to consume on my block. One day at a time. It's on Netflix. It's easy. People are getting multiple seasons. So it makes me mad that it's on Stars.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion of, I do think it could have been marketed differently. And, like, even though you're saying, is it cheap to maybe exploit the sexiness of the girls and pitch it as something different? I don't know. I mean, there's part of me that thinks, do whatever you can to grab your audience and then let the show speak for itself. Yeah. So there's an interesting philosophical discussion to be had there of, like, is it dishonest to kind of grab your potential audience in a way that might not be totally indicative of the show.
Yeah.
I just think a show like this is really tough to show on a poster. It's tough to show in a log line. Even in a trailer, I don't know how you really give someone the flavor of this show.
Yeah, it's hard because I'm trying to think of similarities, right? I'm thinking like Atlanta almost.
Mm-hmm.
And the pool of Atlanta is Childish Gambino.
Right.
Right. So like they don't have that star power. And I'm thinking, wow, Childish Gambino was replaced with some like no name actor. Like how would you sell that show, right?
That's
so they have
true.
This similar battle.
It's a good point.
But I would say they shouldn't do the sex appeal thing because like we have so much of that. Like just don't do that. It's not about that.
I mean, it kind of was a little bit.
What's interesting though is I felt like that scene was framed with a very female gaze.
Yeah.
Like I felt like it was all about the guy's sexuality because he performs most of the bidding of the act.
Well, she's like, I'm so sad. Next thing you know, he's on his knees. And I think that's an interesting take because usually it's the women on their knees.
Well, she was the one telling him to calm down too. Like,
exactly.
The sensitive one.
So I think that could have been a good spin on it. It's a shame. I'm interested to know behind the scenes. We'll never know why, but it could have been different.
Well, let us know what you guys think in the comments. Do you think the show's been as well marketed as it could be? Do you think Stars did a good enough job promoting? And do you think this show has hope? As much as I like it, I'm a little nervous when 20,000 people watch the premiere. I think it's definitely going to be a word of mouth kind of show.
Yeah.
But
we need Gina. Yeah, Gina, help us.
Yes.
Gina Rodriguez stuff.
Yeah.
I'll call her tomorrow.
Good.
It is interesting, though, because almost always a show like this has won. Don't you expect, like, the stock character, like, for some reason, Kristen Chenoweth is in the show or something?
Yeah.
But even with SMILF, we had Rosie O'Donnell.
Exactly.
And Tammy Taylor from Friday Night Lights, whose name is Connie Britton. I forgot for a second.
Oh, God, I forgot she was in that. Yeah.
But it's, like, I'm surprised they didn't pull, like, Ava Perón or, like, who's the in One Day at a Time?
Rita Moreno.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't sort of pull one of our Latin queens to, like, guest star in the pilot or something.
That's what it needed.
She's busy, I guess.
Might have been a tight budget, man.
I sort of love that they didn't.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they're really trusting the actual show, but
it's a great show.
Based on these numbers, I don't know. So,
I mean, yeah, we just need a little push. I mean, with Overboard, Gina Rodriguez was posting all weekend on her Insta stories because I follow her.
Yes.
And she was like, go watch it because of Eugenio Derbez, yeah. Which was opposite of Anna Faris. Yeah. Talk about it, guys.
Oh, man.
Well, really hopefully people will.
Yeah. Now I'm sad.
Well, here's to hoping it's going to catch on. And I do think Starz trusts their shows.
Yeah.
I'm really crossing my fingers for a second season because mm-hmm. I like what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think Starz just has a very stubborn executive running all of it. And it has a younger daughter that's like, Daddy, you know, do this. It's young and hip. And he's like, okay, I'll do half of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I worry about it.
Well, we'll see. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. The last thing we do is, of course, we rate the pilot out of 5. I'm giving this thing a 4.3.
Oh, hi for Jeff.
Yeah.
4.8.
Nice. Oh, wow. Love that.
Not even a 4.0. I liked it a lot.
Great.
I was going to go high, like 4.7.
Oh, awesome. Wow. So, guys, clearly we liked the pilot a lot. I would love for you guys to jump in the comments and let us know what you think. If there's something you think we missed from a character or theme perspective, let us know. We like the show, and I'm really excited to keep watching it. We'll let you know what you guys think. But, guys, we're here every Wednesday at 9 p.m. We're reviewing new pilots for you every week. As you know, this week we review Starz Vita. Our video from last week is getting a lot of attention. We covered YouTube Red's Cobra Kai,
yes.
Which a lot of people are liking. So check out our history. Check out our catalog. Let us know what you think, and let us know what you think of this show. My name is Jeff, guys. If you want to find me online, you can do that at Jeffrey C. Graham. I host a show on Fridays called The Unproduced Table Read. And this Friday we're reading a pilot about a washed-up rock star who accidentally buys a ghost town. And it's awesome.
Oh. So you should check that out. That.
It's really great.
That's awesome. I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez. You can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ, which is an abbreviation for Martinez. Just follow me because I'm on a lot of shows, a lot yes. of stuff, but just follow me there and also subscribe to my YouTube channel because I do trailer reaction videos.
And thank you so much for joining Amy.
Oh, yeah, for joining
us. Really glad we brought you this
thank
week.
Thank you. Yeah, this was fun.
Yes. Good.
You guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. I am doing Riverdale in about 5 minutes, so if you watch that, tune in here at AfterBuzz TV.
Nice. We just all doing personal plugs?
So. Yeah.
Apparently,
all right,
yes.
All right, so I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'Angelo TV or on Instagram at D'Angelo. Go to my YouTube page. Got some good content, some good interviews. With some musicians that you may not know about. So check that out.
You should always plug your stuff.
Yeah.
I should do that more often. Yeah.
Linda, we miss you. We love you. We'll see y'all next week, Wednesday, 9 p.m. Thanks.
Deuces. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.